Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 18. One of the better known passages of Scripture, I assume. Children, we're about to read the story about Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all the fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, Art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so, when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baalim. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered all the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. And let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you 1 bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it. and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be waked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves with after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast him down on the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up. Say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. It's a great, great passage. There's so much application to be made from the passage and so many good things to say, but we will limit our comments for time's sake. First of all, in the first section, 1 through 16, we have Obadiah and Elijah meeting. Obadiah is a godly man. He is the servant of Ahab, and he has not been infected by Ahab's idolatry, Ahab and Jezebel's idolatry. And so when Jezebel sought to cut off all the prophets of Yahweh in the land, Obadiah, being the good man that he was, spared 100 of them and kept them in 2 caves and fed them with bread and water. I'm sure they were very, very thankful for that. Obadiah did a good work. We use that passage of Scripture in support of what is required under the 6th commandment, right? To preserve life. And that is exactly what Obadiah did. And in so doing, he did what? He preferred affliction to sin. because he took his own life in his hand to do that, although he had opportunity to do good, and he did, and in so doing threatened his own life. If Jezebel found out what he had done or what he was doing in feeding them, what do you think she would have done? Well, it's pretty obvious what she would have done. So Obadiah meets Elijah, and they have an interchange, and it's very interesting what Obadiah says. Nobody knows where you've gone. Everybody thinks the Spirit kind of picks you up and puts you down wherever he wants. So if I go tell Ahab that I've found you, well, as soon as I tell him that, Spirit's going to pick you up again, take you somewhere else, and Ahab will kill me. But Elijah encourages him and says, no, I'm going to appear to Ahab today. Today, I'm going to see Ahab face to face. So Obadiah says, well, all right, then I'll go. So notice the trust that Obadiah has in the prophet, right? He has some trust in Elijah, in so much that he indeed takes his life in his own hands once again. It's a stalwart guy, this guy, Obadiah. We need a few Obadiahs today, don't we? The second portion is 17 through 20, and this is Ahab holding the same attitudes of our modern theologians and churchmen that think that any dissension is the bane of the church. So when Ahab meets Elijah, he says, aha, you're the one that troubles Israel. Who's the real troubler of Israel here? Well, it's Ahab. Ahab is the real troubler of Israel. And as we talked about last week when we were thinking about out loud together about the unity of the church, we know what unity is. Unity is not the absence of trouble. Unity is not the absence of dissension. Sometimes those who are for unity must be known as the dissenting party, sometimes. Because true unity is found on what? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one government, one affection. That's where true unity is found. And the sappy unity that, and I use that word unity in quotations, that is pressed for unity today is no unity at all. It's apostasy. And apostasy is not unity. And so Ahab comes and calls Elijah the troubler of Israel, when in reality Ahab is the troubler of Israel because he has moved away from one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one government, and one affection, hasn't he? He's moved away from that. The trouble is not in trouble itself. Now, we don't want trouble for the sake of trouble, obviously. But there are times when trouble is inevitable. So Ahab's thinking is, oh, you prophet, you have more authority from God than you ought to shut up the heavens over such an insignificant matter. You've become our enemy. Insignificant? Idolatry? The plain truth is that Ahab was the troubler of Israel. He had led the people into idolatry, and Elijah was doing his job as God's prophet to reprove sin. All right, here comes those searching questions. When someone comes to you as the reprover of your sin, do you say, you troubler of Israel? Do you shoot the messenger? This is what Ahab's doing. He's shooting the messenger here. Is that what we do? Is it costly for people to come to us and help us see the wrong that we've done? Do we make them pay dearly for it? Or do we receive it as those faithful wounds of a friend, that kindness that the Proverbs calls it, to receive a stroke from a righteous man? I shall call it a kindness, right? Okay. So note Ahab's faith in his idol. He had readily called the prophets of Baal and all the people to see what would be the outcome of this contest, right? Oh yeah, 450 of us and one of you? No problem. We'll be done in about an hour here. Ahab has his confidence in the wrong place. He is counting on Baal to show himself strong. The only problem with that is that Baal only exists in the fancies of men, but the Lord is God. And whatever it is that seeks to take your loyalty from off what God says or who God is, that's a fancy, a figment, and no God at all, but an idol. Who is it that would seek to undermine your obedience to the truth? See that entity for what it is. It's the troubler of your soul. The troubler of your soul. All right, so then we have the assemblage on Mount Carmel. And of course, Elijah sets it up so that there can be no doubt that when the Lord works, it will be most certainly the Lord's working. It will be perfectly recognizable. And yet we know this, that a faith that is built on that kind of a sign generally does not last. You understand that? You remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? What is the greatest sign that has ever been performed in the history of redemption? Christ rising from the dead. That's the greatest, without a doubt. He was dead. D-E-D. Dead. He was put in a tomb. It was cold and dark and damp, and he was in that tomb for some portion of 3 days. And on the third day, he walked out. Never happened before or since. Not like that. He walked out a man glorified. Never happened before or since. So what happened when Jesus rose from the dead? Did the Jews then believe in him? No. No, they concocted a story to hide the fact that he rose from the dead. You remember the statement of Abraham to who some have called Didas, or the rich man, in the story, the rich man and Lazarus. Didas says to Abraham, "Please send someone back from the dead to my brethren that they will not come into this terrible place." And what does Abraham say? "They have Moses and the prophets. If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, they will not believe, even if one rise from the dead." You see, sign-based religion never satisfies. It's always got to be accompanied with the greater and the greater and the greater sign. These people here today on top of Mount Carmel confessed, "Yahweh, He is God, Yahweh, He is God." They did not let the prophets of Baal escape. They put everyone to the sword. They herded them down where Elijah could put them to the sword, and yet they went right back to their idolatry. Because sign religion doesn't work. Good religion is based on the very Word of God. Set your faith there. Don't look for signs. Don't look for wonders. Don't look for the next piece of revelation to come down the pipe. It's closed. It's come. It's come in the person of Christ and in the ministry of His apostles. It's done. Revelation is finished. If you can't believe what's written in the 66 books of the Christian Scriptures, you will not believe if one rises from the dead. And even if you do, it will be but for a short time. It will not be saving faith. It'll be a temporary faith. Make no mistake. So then, note the chastisement of Elijah upon the people. "How long will ye halt between two opinions?" Between two points of view. Between two arguments. "How long will ye halt between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, then worship Him. If Baal is God, worship Him." And what answer does he get from the people at that point? Nothing. No answer at all. They're waiting to see how it plays out. How sinful. How wicked. How wicked. We're waiting to see who's got the prettier sign. Right? Of course, you know what happens. The priests of Baal and their false system, thinking they can get the attention of their God by by doing more and more crazy things, end up cutting themselves by the end of the day, leaping and jumping up and down on the altars. Elijah takes 12 stones, simply, biblically, lays them in order, sets the sacrifice, and in one sentence, the answer of the Lord comes down in fire without a doubt and licks up every bit of water and every bit of stone and every bit of wood and every bit of dust that was on that altar and makes it disappear. You know why? Because the confession of the people, albeit insincere, was correct. Because Yahweh, He is God. Nobody, no one, He has no equal, no competitor. His word is true. His word is true. Do you believe Him? His word is true. All right, well, thus ends the reading of 1 Kings 18. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing.